Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Look, I had a great time. Had a great time at the awards. And, you know, I mentioned this multiple times, but seeing the people there, to me, was the most important thing more than anything else, man. There was people I haven't seen in years, man. 2 years plus, you know.
Let me tell you. I'm gonna take this show on a quick tangent, real quick. I was sitting here watching the VOD. Obviously, you know, show goes live 2 a.m. here in Europe, so I couldn't watch it live or even co-stream it for the show, right? So
yeah,
I wake up. It's Friday. I'm like, oh man, the VODs came on. Let me go watch it. Let me go watch the VOD. Boom. And then I'm watching it and I'm like, all right, cool. I'm like, oh man, look at DJ going up there on the screen. That's awesome. You know, he's one of the future class. And then I see the video with Khalif and I start bawling here in my chair in my living room here. The wife, she just walked by. And she's like, are you crying? And I'm like, boo-hoo Charmin Soft crying in my chair just out of pure joy and happiness because, you know, seeing people that we've seen go from the bottom, like starting, like knowing where they've been to where they're at now. It was just so much happiness and joy seeing them and just knowing that story. And then it hit me. I was like, damn. How long has it been since I've seen all these people? You know, it's like they keep showing faces in the crowd and I'm like, yeah, I know them. Yeah, I know them. And then it's like, shit, like, damn, I haven't seen these people in like 3 years now at this point because I've been gone. And I'm like, damn, I really miss Danny in Paris right now. Like, it really hit me at that moment that I was like, man, I haven't seen my boys in a minute. Like, yeah, we do the show and stuff like that. But it's not the same without having it's you guys not. Like physically there to give you a bro hug and shit. And I might even get teary eyed now. But yeah, it was like it got emotional for me. So it was good. I'm glad to see that you guys were invited out there. I think it was amazing that we got an opportunity to be on the voting panel for the show, for the Game Awards in general. But yeah, man. I mean, you guys knocked it out and just. Once again, shout out to DJ, shout out to Khalif and Spawn on Me. Seeing them and the growth that all of our friends in the industry is that we all started from the bottom and now we're here, right? It sounds cliche, but it's true. You know, it just goes to show the hard work and effort that we've all put through on this craft is finally starting to come out, dude. So, but yeah, that's my little story. It, you know, hopefully you guys got a little teary eyed too.
No, it's 100%. And look, Pete, you know, also shout out to our other co-host, Paris Lilly. He's here too. He also had a great time at the Game Awards.
Don't speak for me. You don't know if I had a good time or not.
He had an amazing time. He was smiling the whole time. You know it's true. But besides the traffic to get in there. Just besides that. No, but it was great. But Paris, man, what's up? How's everything with you, man?
No, it's good. And how do I follow up everything that Pete just said? But yeah, I mean, it was great going up to LA and going to the Game Awards. And like Pete has said, you know, we've gone at least 2 years without seeing, you know, so many different people. There were even people that I got to see during the couple nights I was up there that I hadn't seen since like E3 2015. You know, I tweeted this the other day because I kind of just reflected on just that day we had, you know, you and I hanging out and obviously the Game Awards and everything that happened with that. Like, you don't realize what you miss until it's taken away from you. And it was crazy that as close as I live to LA, I hadn't even been to downtown LA since that Game Awards 2019. It had been 2 whole years, and just seeing people in person face to face and just that human connection that you have with so many people, you know, old and new. There was people that came up to me, you know, that you know knew me, you know, obviously from GTR and Kind of Funny and doing the Xbox show, that just came up to, because I was tweeting out, like, if you see me, come up to me. And people came up to me and, you know, were taking pictures and hugging it out with people and all that stuff. It was really good, man. I mean, you just realize how much you miss being around, you know, our friends and just our fellow colleagues in the industry. And again, to echo what Pete was saying, you know, thank you, you know, to Jeff Keighley and everyone involved with the Game Awards for allowing us, you know, to vote on the nominees that people, you know, got to see, you know, during the event. That was quite an honor as well. And yeah, it was just awesome, man. I mean, you know, you taking me up to G4, even though it was a super quick tour, you know, we'll obviously have to do it again. But being able to go up to G4 and just see the new studio, it's very amazing, you know, what they're doing up there. And, you know, I'm so proud of you, you know, being, you know, a part of G4 now and, you know, in the background, making the magic happen and all that stuff. But yeah, it's been quite the year. And, you know, it was great to culminate all that, you know, with the Game Awards and see everybody. It was very, 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 you know, like I said, my heart was full of joy and happiness the last couple of days. So it was great.
Yeah. You know what? We were all hanging out, and the tough part was everybody, okay, we have to go back to our rooms. We have to go back home. That was hard for a lot of people because we haven't seen each other so long.
Yeah.
But I hope next year we could start slowly going to other events and just hang out with friends and see what happens next, man. So I can't wait. And Pete, hopefully, we would love to see you, man, over here in the West Coast one day.
It might be happening in a few months, give or take. Some happen in a little certain city happening in Vegas or something like that.
Oh, well, that's true. let's make it happen. All right, everyone. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. You also can find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio. Follow, subscribe, and over post a review. If you would like to be part of our famous segment or episode, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to be talking about Game of the Year. We usually do this. We talk about our top 5 games of the year, also honorable mentions, and just overall 2021. We'll talk about just overall gaming. How was it for us? And yeah, we'll go from there. And Paris, I think we have one more episode coming up.
Yes.
Sometime next week.
Yes.
One more. Yeah, so, and we're taking a vacation after that. We definitely need it. All right, so let's talk about overall 2021 gaming for you guys as a fan of games. I know we always bring up, you know, the infamous 2007 back in the days, where there were so many games that came out throughout that year. But this one, I felt like there was a lot of indie games that blew up, a lot of surprises, I think, more than ever. This year, and I just want to hear your thoughts about that, because that really surprised me, playing, like, you know, a game like Guardians of the Galaxy, which I thought was not going to be that great, and playing it, I'm like, it completely changed my mind of that. So just overall, what do you guys think of this year? Paris, you want to go first?
I think it was a solid year. I mean, this was definitely not a 2007 or a 1998 kind of year for gaming, but it was solid, especially under the conditions of the pandemic and a lot of things getting delayed, you know, into 2022 and beyond. I still think there was a lot of great games. And like you mentioned, at that AA and that indie level, Yeah, there were some fantastic titles that I was able to discover this year and play and really enjoyed. But even at the AAA level, and obviously we'll kind of get into our games of the year later, so I'll talk about it at that point. But there was definitely some fantastic titles came out, some that really surprised me at just how good they were and the quality that came with it. So, you know, not that this will rank in some of the best gaming years of all time, but it was very solid. And I just, like I said before, I think under the circumstances, really good year.
What about you, Pete?
I mean, just pretty much nailed it on the head right there, right? I don't know if the expectations going into 2021 matches the actual delivery of 2021 as far as games go, right? With all the games that we saw, and, you know, again, we've got our games of the year coming up at the end of the show. It's I would say it's a solid 7.5-8 as far as games, ranging from AAA all the way down to indie titles, games that caught us by surprise, games that we didn't think were going to be considered, or that we even knew about that would have been that could have been in contention for Game of the Year that caught everybody by surprise. And I think that's one of the great things as we've gone from year to year, is that you don't have to be that AAA to win that best game of the year, right? It can be just as simple as whether it's a mobile game or an indie game. It doesn't have to be one of those big blockbuster titles. And again, this year showed and proved just that. You know, you've got major developers and major powerhouse publishers throwing boatloads of money at titles, but it's not necessary. Sometimes it can be as simple as a single developer, you know, with you know, the heart, the drive, and the determination to do it. And it's the ingenuity at the end of the day, right? It's giving us something that it's not just a copycat or a cookie cutter type experience. It's something that's truly different, truly takes us all, not just by the hands on the controller, but by our heartstrings and our emotions. And that's a great thing to have, right? It's a great opportunity to have. And now as we're seeing things come out from a higher, more technical perspective, like, I mean, that new Matrix thing that was announced at the Game Awards, that's ridiculous from a technological aspect, right? So to be able to see that happening and then, you know, with other games coming out like Star Wars, that's just going to be nuts as it draws us in further into games that we love and we enjoy with a more realistic setting. So there's so many things that we could say, but I think overall solid 8.5 from as high as an 8.5 as far as just quality overall of 2021. What are your thoughts? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it's the same. I felt like it was a very decent year, but I had a great time playing multiple games from indies and AAA. You know, playing, in which I'm going to mention this, you know, playing a game like Knockout City, which was fantastic. I was playing that for months, and that's not a huge, huge game compared to like the other ones we're going to mention later. But that was a lot of fun just playing that with friends. You know, I'll get together with... shout out to Blessing from Kinda Funny, Rhi and I, and yo, we'll be killing it online nonstop. You know, that game is a lot of fun. Another game that also surprised me, but that was also in part of the Game Pass service day one, was like another game like Back for Blood, something like that. You know, I'd love to see more of those titles that if it wasn't going to be part of a Game Pass, I think that those games wouldn't have gotten like attention overall from like the fans, you know. I think we're going to start seeing more of that in the future. And I think this year more than ever, we got to see that with third party companies, you know. And I feel like gaming is just getting better and better every time, man. I know you mentioned about Matrix. I haven't tried it out yet. I know Paris, you tweeted something about it. So I was going to ask you a question about that. Was this from the original game from the PlayStation, was it PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3? That game, and then they just remade it and made it better with Unreal Engine, right? The new Unreal Engine, right? Or no? Paris.
Sorry. My job sent me a message right at the moment I was reading.
That's okay.
I'm not going to tell you anything. Go play it.
Okay.
Yeah, trust me. You don't want us to explain it. Go play it. Seriously, I'm not trying to be funny. I really think you should experience it for yourself for the first time, and then we should have a discussion about it. I don't think trust me, if we tell you certain things about it, it will ruin the experience. There is a, the first time you see it moment kind of thing with that demo. Trust me. I will say this though, that Unreal Engine 5, and that's why I tweeted what I tweeted. This, that, that Matrix demo makes me want a full on Matrix game. Number one, but number two, I do want to see what other devs can do with this engine across the spectrum from indie all the way up to AAA. And yes, the Coalition did help Epic create this Matrix demo. So obviously that gets me excited to see what the Coalition is going to do with Unreal 5, obviously with Gears, and we know they're working on another project as well. But yeah, I want to see what all these different devs are going to be able to do with UE5 because it's very impressive. But trust me, experience it for yourself for the first time and don't let no one spoil it.
But is this also available consoles, right? It's not only...
It's not on PC. Yeah. It's only consoles.
Only consoles?
Yeah,
oh,
Series X and PlayStation 5. Yeah, I did it on Series X, but I mean, you know, if you have a PlayStation 5, you don't have a Series X, you can do it there as well.
Okay, I'll do it. And look, I'll play it and we'll talk about it next week.
Yes.
Cool? All right, we'll do that. We'll do that. All right, so let's talk about honorable mentions. Is there any honorable mentions for... Before we talk about our top five, I'll mention just one for me is Knockout City. Like I said earlier, it's a game that is just fun. And, you know, I played a lot with my fiance Rihanna and also Blessing for the past couple of months, man. And actually we were talking about it last night. We're like, I think we should go back. It has been a while, but EA's been adding a lot of new content, a lot of new levels and features in the game. And I highly recommend it. If you have a Xbox Game Pass, you definitely got to play it. It's a must play. It's the game is freaking amazing. It's so much fun. Is there any honorable mentions for you guys before we go to the top five? Pete, you want to go first?
Let me see. Cause I have a whole ass list right here of things.
It's all good. It's all good.
I think for me, first, I want to say League of Legends Wild Rift. It's a title that caught me by surprise. And it's not just because my son is now blowing up as a caster there. Well, partially. You know, it caught me. League of Legends has always been a real difficult game for me to grab and wrap my hands around simply because there's so much within the meta. And if you don't dedicate a lot of time into it, it can be quite daunting.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that it's a fast-paced 15, 20 minutes in and out experience as opposed to what could be, you know, anywhere ranging from half an hour to an hour, you know, it makes life a lot easier. I would say honorable mention to them and on also to The Ascent. The Ascent is another game.
Ooh, The Ascent. Great
game. Came out earlier this year. And honestly, It probably exceeded the expectation that I had because it was just a lot of fun. I know Paris's review earlier in the year said it was what Cyberpunk should have been. And he's not 100% wrong on that. Right. I know it was a game that's, I guess if you could say it's the GTA 3 version of what Cyberpunk 2077 should have been. And it was a lot of fun and I really enjoyed playing it.
Awesome. Awesome. What about you, Paris? Any honorable mention?
Yes, I have a list of my honorable mentions. So just to piggyback off what you're saying about The Ascent, while it had its technical issues early on, overall, I thought it was a very solid, again, coming from such a small team making that, I think it was great. Obviously, the co-op experience and everything that went along with that and the top-down aspect. But yeah, it's what Cyberpunk probably should have been overall, as far as just from a story and a world standpoint. But that's one. One of my other ones is It Takes Two, the game of the year. Didn't make it into my top five, but it is absolutely a great experience. I suggest any parents out there, play with your kids. It's a great bonding game with your kids to be able to play. And trust me, I understand why it won Game of the Year, taking nothing away from it. Another one for me would have been Kena Bridge of Spirits, which won an indie title of the year at the Game Awards. Again, first time that team has ever made a game, and they clearly knocked it out of the park. Again, just visually everything. It was fantastic. And hopefully they'll have a follow up to that because there's definitely more they can do in that world. Forza Horizon 5 also would be on my honorable mention list. Again, fantastic game. This is why I'm saying 2021 was great, because this didn't even get into my top five. One of the more visually impressive games if you play on PC or on the next gen systems. A lot of fun, obviously. Everyone, we've seen the amount of people that have been playing it. So, you know, highly suggest people check out Forza Horizon 5. Another one for me would be Rain on Your Parade, another indie title that came out. I just absolutely love it. I love the story. I love the humor in it. There's some kind of funny Easter eggs in there as well from that development team. And again, another small team indie title making a game, well worth your time. I highly suggest people check it out. Absolutely loved it. And then finally, on my honorable mention, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Wow, so now you're top five. Wow, I'm impressed.
Nope. Probably the best looking game. I don't want to say ever, but I mean, for a PS5 only title, I mean, it's damn near a Pixar movie. You know, you know why it ultimately didn't get in my top five? Because it is a short experience overall. As great as it is, as great, like Jennifer Hale as Rivet, as an example, the voice acting, the art direction, everything about it, it's fun. The weapons are great to use, takes great advantage of the 3D audio and the DualSense controller in unique ways. But it was a very short experience, and I've not felt compelled to go back to it. You know, it's almost a one and done kind of thing. So I actually had it in my top five, and then I thought about it more, and I was like, no, I'm gonna put this ahead of it, because okay. I think I get more value out of what my number five is. And I'm sure we'll talk about this in a second, yeah. but yeah, it's in my honorable mention, but everything that I just listed here could have been a top five game this year. Maybe not The Ascent, but the rest of them could have been a top five game. Absolutely. There's definitely some game of the year contenders on that list as well. And I highly suggest everyone check them all out.
Yeah. Hey, impressive list there, man. Nothing but great games. So you mentioned there, man. And there's a couple that surprised me, like, wow, I never mentioned. That's cool. That's great. You know, like, that's the beauty about our game of the year. We all of us going to have different opinions about it, but that's the fun part. We will talk about it, you know. All right, so we're going to go with the top 5. All right, I'm going to go first. Number 5 for me.
Wait a minute.
What?
Did you even give your?
No.
Yes, I did. I did in the beginning. I said Knockout City. Okay. Pay attention, guys. Jesus Christ.
So aggressive. Yeah. God.
The heck is wrong with you, man? Jesus Christ. Anyways, Back for Blood number 5 for me, game of the year. And here's the thing. That, to me, is the one of my favorite multiplayer games that came out this year. It's challenging, so much fun. And the game gets harder and harder, man. And it's long, long, long game. Like, it took us a while to complete the whole thing as a group. And I highly recommend, for those that have Game Pass, go try it out. It's an amazing game. And I know there's been changes, because there was bugs in the beginning once the game came out. But yeah, if you're a fan of Left 4 Dead and you want something new, and you haven't played something like that in a long, long time, go for it, man. Must play for me. So that's my number 5, Back 4 Blood. All right, next, Pete, what about you?
All right. Number 5, I'm going to go with Deathloop. Really ambitious game. And so we got to give kudos to Arkane for a title like this, right? I mean, it's no surprise that I think that they've taken advantage, and they understand their expertise and what they do. And it's engaging, it's fun and frustrating at times. And I think they managed to capture the look and the feel, the essence of like what Dishonored would be if it was a more fast-paced multiplayer game, right? That's not a slight, that's no disrespect. Dishonored is a fantastic title, and I think what Deathloop does with its core gameplay, having to go back, you know, going in and out back through time, it's nuts, it's insane. And it's something, again, and you know, I mentioned this early on, it's the fact that it's something new and refreshing, right? And I think that is a very, very key and important thing that we all start to understand and embrace as it gets harder and harder to find those experiences, right? To find something new within this gameplay experience, whether it's the core loop of the game or whether it's repetitive grind, how do you keep it fresh and how do you keep players coming back and wanting to do more? And I think as you go through my tops this year, that's going to be a recurring theme, is this how do you come in with something that's not just a repeat from the last 10, 15 years of games that we've done. And it's extremely difficult. And I think that's something that we have to start holding these developers and publishers to task for, is to give us more unique experiences, because I think that's what we all want and need. So Deathloop.
All right. Great game. Great, great game. Love the soundtrack and voice acting.
Oh yeah.
Love it. Paris, what about you, man? Number five.
Yeah. Before I jump into number five, one other thing with the Game Awards that was great was, like Pete just mentioned, Deathloop, is being able to tell the actual developers directly what you think about their game and congratulate them. Because I ran into the creative director for Deathloop, and you and I both, Danny, ran into the creative director for Forza Horizon 5, and being able to talk to them directly and say, hey, This is why I loved your game. This is what was great about it. And then, you know, Deathloop obviously won the award, and I saw him right after, and, you know, be able to tell Dinga, you know, congratulations. I go, you know, how much I love this game. I mean, I miss that stuff, man. I just going back to the whole thing with this silly pandemic that, you know, we weren't able to do. I miss being able to do stuff like that. So it was awesome to have that in person, you know, conversation about these great games. But my number five is Halo Infinite. And it's a combination of both, of obviously the multiplayer, which everyone is loving. I mean, you know, they're updating the playlist and obviously the progression stuff that they need to tweak. But, you know, that campaign delivered for me. I was highly skeptical over the past year if they were going to be able to stick the landing. And I feel that 343 absolutely did with that campaign. I'm actually on my third playthrough right now because I didn't get any achievements or anything during the preview and the review period. So now I'm playing the actual retail version on PC and going through it again. And I'm just enjoying these encounters and the different ways that you can tackle them and trying out new weapons and like, oh, let me do this. I did this last time. Let me try this kind of thing. I'm really loving that. Well, obviously no spoilers on here for the story or anything, but it will be interesting to see where they go next with this campaign and how they're going to continue it, because, you know, they're calling it Halo Infinite for a reason. And going back to what I was saying before, just the multiplayer is a banger. It's a lot of fun to obviously play big team battle with your friends and just all the chaos that can happen with that. And I look forward to the future as they continue to tweak and improve that experience as well. But yeah, Halo Infinite is my number five. And I'm very happy to say that, because I was worried about the Halo franchise for the last few years, but I now think 343 has owned it and seems to be in good hands moving forward.
All right. Yes, that's actually my number four, Paris, is Halo Infinite. I feel like Halo is back. It reminds me a lot of the old school Halo 1 and Halo 2 days, Halo 3. And I love the campaign. Even though it doesn't have co-op, which is fine. But I'm actually replaying it too, because like you said, there was no achievements from the preview version. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to play this in a harder difficulty now and see if there's anything else I could discover in the game. And yeah, it's challenging. Heroic is no joke. I'm not even going to plan to touch Legendary. I think I'll do that once the co-op releases sometime next year. But not only that, multiplayer, which again, it's a free game, that reminds me so much of the MOG early days of Halo. Even a lot of the pro players from back then are back and playing this, and yeah, I've been playing nonstop with friends. Crossplay available on Game Pass. I was out of town for a couple of days, and I got to play that game using the cloud, and it was smooth experience, very very smooth experience. So, you know, shout out to 343 for making an amazing, amazing Halo game. I can't wait to play this more. Actually, after this, I'll probably play it. So yeah, that's my number four. Pete, what's your number four?
Number four for me is Death's Door. So it's a really, I see Ferris's scrunchy face. I love it. So, I mean, It's a modern classic, I think, at this point. And I think it leverages a great combination of just presentation and gameplay. It's super easy to pick up. It's difficult to put down, and it's frustrating as hell to try to figure out. I think Acid Nerve has done a phenomenal job with this title. The gameplay mechanics are extremely fun. And I'll give a hint to those that haven't played it. Don't play it on keyboard and mouse. Plug in your controller and play it, because if you try to do it on a keyboard and mouse, you're going to get even more frustrated and might turn you off from actually playing the game. Not all games can be translated easily to keyboard and mouse, and this is one of them. And I know some say that the difficulty of the game in and of itself is a negative, but I think we need games like this. We need those.
Yes.
We need that to challenge us as gamers. Also, some people say that a lack of a map is frustrating, but I think that's part of the charm of this game, right? You don't have to have a map. You don't have to have an easy, you know, hold my hand experience through these games. I think having difficulty in games, you and I think we've all three of us have talked about this in the past. It's a necessity. You need to have these things to challenge you, not just from a mental experience or from an emotional experience. It's what video games are all about at the end of the day. So number four for me, Death's Door from Acid Nerve.
Great choice. What about you, Paris?
My number four, as we already previously discussed, is Deathloop. I thought it was fantastic. I thought just the story, the voice acting, the art direction. Obviously, again, when we talk about tackling encounters in unique ways and you're not just scripted into doing it a certain way, is another great aspect of a game like Deathloop. And obviously, you know, you have to string everything together, day-night cycle, and you know, and the pattern to get through to, quote-unquote, break the loop. But yeah, it was fantastic, and it absolutely deserved to be in the Game of the Year conversation. And yeah, I mean, we've already talked about it, but that would be my number four, Deathloop.
All right, number three for me is Forza Horizon 5. I'm a huge Horizon fan. Love the open world. I think it's the best looking graphics I've seen so far this generation. It looks so freaking good. I just love everything about the game. Replay value. Multiplayer. Even if you're playing single player, there's a lot of activities that you could do all across Mexico, and like just discovering boards. It could be in the middle of the road, on the side, in the middle of nowhere, and seeing a lot of the dravatars from your friend list. Soundtrack is really, really great. I just love how they split the music from the Spanish music, and they'll add it into the English stations, and there's a lot of independent artists there too. Just overall, it's great. Like Paris said, we were talking to the creative director of Forza Horizon. We had a great conversation about that, about like, you know, working on that game, and I congratulate him because you know, I think Playground Games, every time they release a Forza Horizon game, it gets better and better every single time. And I'm excited that they're working also on the new Fable game. Very curious to see how that's going to look. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite games of this year, man. Forza Horizon 5. What about you, Pete?
All right, for me, this is where it got really difficult for my decisions. So, for number three, I'm going to say Kena: Bridge of Spirits. Every year, I come into these awards and I try to figure out how do I incorporate an indie title in here? I've done it the last 3 years. And although unfortunately it didn't come in number one, I was trying to find reasons for it. And unfortunately I couldn't. But Ember Labs, their first offering is just visually stunning. It's super challenging. The sound design is amazing. And the mechanics are really simple and easy to get into. I found myself at times just immersed in the story and the experience, which, as a fan of shooters, is really difficult to do, right? I usually play my games for the lowbrow fun of enjoyment and frustration. But Kena: Bridge of Spirits is one of those few titles that rip you immediately into the story. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough good things about this. I'm really looking forward to seeing whatever Labs has in the future, right? Because like what Paris said earlier about, I can't remember the name of the title, but it being there for Arcane, the creators Aspect. But it having a developer's first game be this good is really, really difficult to do. So it's, I'm glad to see that, you know, the future is bright for video game developers. And yeah, man, Kena, Bridge of Spirits, if you haven't had a chance to pick it up, it's not that expensive. It's not that hard to pick up. And it's fantastic. If you look at all the reviews, it's generally well-reviewed, whether you go from Metacritic and all the other ones. It's just wholesome fun. You know, I know you guys are big fans of Breath of the Wild, and if you liked a Breath of the Wild type game and you haven't played and you want something more from that, I'd say definitely pick up Kena Bridge of Spirits, because it's one of those games that just, it's from beginning to end, it's really difficult to find a game that does everything well. And this is one of those, right? This is one of those games. Yeah. So pick it up.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna, I'm planning to play that game during the my vacation. That's,
you will not,
and it's very impressive.
Yeah, you will not.
It's impressive for a game to get this much positive reviews and awards and mentions for the first time that they worked on this. This is insane. That's crazy. Shout out to the developers, man. So, Paris, what about you, man? What's your next game?
My number three would be Returnal. And I, it was, you know, it's a roguelike, and it can be very punishing with some of the RNG in there, but I absolutely love that world that Housemarque created. And, you know, that's part of the fun, is banging your head against that wall, trying to get from biome to biome, and obviously do it all through one run. And, you know, being at the mercy of RNG as far as your weapon rolls go and things like that. But fantastic atmospheric experience. Again, when we talk about the PlayStation 5 and taking advantage of that DualSense controller, I mean, you know, it, you can literally feel the raindrops as you're, you know, in the controller as it's in your hands, just things like that. I loved it. I think, you know, some people will get turned off by roguelikes because it's not for everyone. But again, I highly suggest people go check it out. It's a very satisfying, rewarding experience once you figure it out and you get the right rolls on RNG and you do a complete run. It's a very satisfying experience. Highly suggest it.
Yeah, so my number two game, and look, I'm a huge fan of Insomniac. I feel like this is taking gaming to the next level, and I really enjoy the story. And it's Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart. I just love, I loved the voice cast, love the story, the design. Even playing that first level, it reminded me of like a Pixar movie. Just overall, just the characters in the background. It feels like I was part of that world, man. And not only that, just using the PlayStation 5 controller, it felt good playing that game with that. And that to me was like the first true next-gen game, in my opinion, that I was like, okay, gaming is going to be even better this time around, you know, with the new systems. And it's a great, great game. I had an amazing time. This is one of the first games that I actually went back and tried to complete as much as possible, even after I completed the story, the main campaign. There was like a lot of side stories, side quests I wanted to complete in there, man. And it was, some of them were really, really challenging, man. So again, Insomniac to me is one of my favorite developers this time around. My favorite ones. I can't wait to play new Spider-Man, new Wolverine game. Hopefully they'll re-release Sunset Overdrive on PlayStation now. So highly recommended. Ratchet & Clank, one of my top games of this year, man. So that's my numero dos. Pete, what about you? What's your number two?
All right. I'm going to go with Amazon Studios New World. And
interesting pick.
Let me tell you. Okay. Let me tell you. If you know me, for God knows how many years I've been on this show, I am the worst and biggest villain to anything that's RPG related. You throw in the multiplayer aspect of it being an MMORPG, and it typically it pushes me further and further away. It's funny, and I don't know if that's finally just me maturing as a gamer, but it's the the fact that it's fun and accessible is something that RPGs for me don't always deliver, right? And I'm not saying that it's the perfect game, but the fact that for me to have devoted as much time as I have into this game, the fact that I have not just one, but two characters, okay, that I essentially had to level up and grind through on both, it's a testament to what this game is about. Again, it's not perfect, but considering that this is Amazon Studios' literal first development, it's a solid foundation, right? And games like this, for me, need to be easy to get into because there's such time siphons, right? I'm not 15-year-old anymore with tons of time on evenings and weekends to devote into games, right? I'm an adult, I'm a parent, I'm a father, I'm a husband, so I've got to devote time to, to everything going on in my world. And the fact that this game can I find a way to dedicate a little bit of time to either of the characters, and to Syndicate as well. That's my clan, so whatever, I don't care what anybody else says, I'm Syndicate on both. It's something that I just enjoy playing. It's a fun respite from the day to day, right? It's great to allow me to just get away from the doldrums of day to day life, right? The rewards that you get are relatively easy to achieve, especially on that first 20, because you can always respect your character and say maybe I don't want to do the hammer, maybe I want to do the sword, or maybe I want to do spear, or maybe I want to do axe. But the fact that it gives you that time to respec and really figure out what you want to achieve, because once you get past level 20 is where the fun really begins. I love the fact that it's super accessible to all MMORPG players, right? At the end of the day. They maybe not coming out of the development studio with the most original concept with an MMORPG. But the fact that I, of all people, I'm spending hours in front of my screen, leveling up my characters, doing these odd tasks and jobs. It's something that I'm really, really enjoying. So for number two for me, Amazon Game Studio, New World.
All right. Great pick. What about you, Paris? Number two.
My number two is Psychonauts 2. Again, Double Fine just knocked it out of the park with the sequel. It's a great way for people who did not experience the first one to enter into the franchise. I love the platforming aspects of it. I love the puzzle solving that was in there as well. You know, the voice acting was just top notch, you know, for everything. It's such a fantastic game. And I will sit here and say, as I sat there in those seats at the Game Awards and saw that game got nominated for five things and didn't win one, is freaking robbery. You know, they might as well have had a ski mask and a pistol, because they just straight robbed them. Sorry. It didn't need to win Game of the Year. I'm not saying that, but honestly, it didn't win Art Direction. Really? And look, I may or may not have had a conversation with someone from Double Fine right after that, and they may or may not have agreed with me, but the point remains, it is a fantastic game that you do need to go check out. It is one of the best games that came out in 2021. And it's on everything, right? It's on PlayStation, it's on Xbox, PC. I guess it's not on Switch, but regardless, fantastic game. Please go check it out. Psychonauts 2 is my number two.
Did you do a YouTube short? Did you do a YouTube short after the show and complain about it?
No. You do that. Well, actually, that's my number one. My number one game is Psychonauts 2. I just love the message about mental health. I love the puzzles in the game. Story's fantastic. Oh my God, it's so good. Boss battles, amazing experience. Voice acting, great. Music is amazing. There was parts that remind me so much of watching like a Pixar movie similar to Ratchet and Clank. I agree with you 100%, Paris. It is crazy that game got nominated for so many categories and not even one single win. That sucks.
Yep.
Really, really sucks. And hopefully other sites will give Double Fine props once we get to see more of the Game of the Year categories. I know for us with G4 at XPlay, we picked that. That is our Game of the Year also. So So yeah, I can't wait to see other sites, to see what they're gonna say about Psychonauts 2, man. Great game. Great game. Shout out to Double Fine for it. And also shout out to James and Elise from Funhouse. They're also in the game, one of the main missions from the campaign. They did a great job too. And that's James's dream, to be part of that. If you're talking about the game. So all right, so we have Pete here. Pete, what's your numero uno, number one game of 2021?
I'm gonna surprise everybody.
Oof, here goes.
Halo Infinite.
There you go. great pick.
All right, so everybody knows me. I hate multiplayer on Halo. It's just not for me, right? I've always been a proponent for the story first. Danny, you know this on the last, yeah. You know, the last few titles. Every time, all right, we're going to go jump in. I'm going to go play the campaign first and go play multiplayer later. But the multiplayer has really sucked me in. I am taking so much joy and excitement in finding all the little things that you can do, whether it's the grappling gun, whether it's repulsing a rocket coming at me, or right back at the enemy, is so much fun. I'm enjoying when I'm playing in EU, because when I play on NA ping from here in Europe, it's atrocious. It's like I'm two different people all over again. It's really, really strange. It's shown that at my advanced age, I am not a bad multiplayer gamer anymore, right? That I can still hold my own with the youngins. And I have a lot of fun, regardless of whether it's King of the Hill or whether it's Capture the Flag or, and I'm looking forward to all the other game modes as they come out. I can't wait for SWAT to come out. But it's a lot of fun. I'm having fun and finally specking and getting all of the gear for my character, so I can finally have my Spartan running around in the gear that I want him to look like. Right now, I've got it on one of the Cloud Nine all black. And actually, no, it's not Cloud Nine. I think it's the Netizens here. It's black and gold. It looks fantastic running across the screen. The campaign, I'm almost done with it. It's brought me back into the world of Master Chief 117, and I love it. I'm having a blast. I can't say enough about that grapple. I think that's probably the best addition to the game. And I know early on, when there was a lot of vitriol on the webs and social media about giving Spartans special abilities. But I think having those little things, right, having the ability to launch the little radar and have it run on a vehicle as it's going by, and being able to ping all the enemies on the screen, or using the grapple gun and, for some reason, for me, and I don't know if this is the same for you guys, but I love grabbing the explosive canisters and just launching mm-hmm. them at mm-hmm. all of my enemies before I use any of my weaponry. Right. And I think I saw a meme the other day that said it best. It was like that one where it's the guy walking with his girlfriend. He's looking back at the girl, and his girlfriend's like, "What is?" And it's like the girl that's looking at, you know, the girl that he's looking at is actually one of the canisters, and the pissed off girlfriend is all like the BR, the commando, and the sniper, yeah. and the rocket launcher. And I've, you know what? It's at the end of the day, it's brought back the joy and the fun and the frustration that Halo for me is synonymous with. Right? It's brought me back 20 years as a gamer, and it's exciting. And, you know, thankfully 343 made the decision to put it back in the oven, add some more salt, pepper, garlic, and paprika to the game, because it needed it. And thankfully, now they've got Joe State and they've got everybody else on board now. Now they've got a great foundation with which to build this new experience on. Right. So now, are we going to see now what happened with Destiny and Destiny 2, right? Where now they've got the core foundation of a phenomenal game, and now they can just start building and adding pieces on it, on top of it. And it's going to be a fantastic run for the years to come. So for me, game of the year, 2021, I never thought I was going to say this, but Halo Infinite.
I'm very impressed. Great choice, Pete. Great choice. I love how different our list has been. Like, it's been totally different, you know, so it's awesome. All right, Paris, what's your favorite game this year, man?
You already know what my number one is, because I've been saying it since the summer. It's Death's Door. I mean, it just is for me, because it's the most fun that I had this year. playing a game because it had that retro, you know, Zelda Link to the Past type of feel to it. So I got the nostalgia from it, but it felt like a modern game. And the music soundtrack is just so good. It just brings you into that world, and you want it, it encourages you to want to stay there and explore and discover new things. And then the boss battles are just, they're fantastic. All the boss battles in that game are fantastic. I just absolutely love it. I ended that game wanting more. And that's the sign of a great game to me, where I didn't want it to end. I wanted to keep playing it. And I'm about to lose my headphones, so my sound might cut out. I might not hear you guys. But yeah, I just adore the game. I just do. And you know, the fact that you know, two people made that game just blows my mind. It still does to this day. I mean, it's only $20. It's on the PlayStation now as well. I mean, it's just one of those things that I evangelize for, because I want people to go play it. I want people to, you know, have that feeling that I'm having playing that game, because it was just that good to me. So yeah, absolutely. Dev Store is my game of the year. And again, ski mask and a pistol, because they got robbed at the Game Awards too. How about that? Should have won something. There you go. Done.
And that game is also available on the Switch, right?
On Switch now.
Yes, yeah. You're correct. Last it month, is on the Switch as well. Month, right? Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think I'll play it on the Switch too. Yeah, because I played it on Xbox. It's a great game. Great game, by the way. Yeah, those are our top five games of 2021, man. Overall, I love that our picks is very, very different. Love that all about indie and also, you know, and AAA games there too. So it's really cool. Really, really cool. We're going to wrap it up, but is there anything else you guys want to mention before we stop the recording? One thing I want to say is, you know, I'm glad that we finally got together, us three. It's been a very busy year for all of us. I truly miss recording with you guys. It's, you know, ever since I got the job here at G4, I have to get used to the schedule and everything. It's been a while for me to work, have like a 9-to-5 job like this and also do GTR at the same time. But recording with you guys has always been fun for me, man. I can't wait to do more of that next year. I know we have one more episode coming up next year, but yeah, I just want to say that, man. I'm glad that we got together finally, you know.
Yeah,
Peter Parrish, want to say anything before we wrap it up?
Let me talk because literally my headphones are about to die and I won't be able to hear you. It's been another great gaming year. There's been a lot of highs. There's obviously been some lows there as well. But overall, I think it's been a fantastic gaming year. And as we go into 2022, which I'm sure we'll talk about more in the next episode, I just think the gaming future looks bright. I think as we really transition into this next generation of gaming, again, going back to that Matrix demo, I think the potential is there to create some experiences that, you know, we've just not seen before. And that's what excites me the most. Look at a lot of the different services and things that these consoles can do now that enhances the experience. It's an exciting time.
And you, Pete?
Before we go, once again, thank you, Danny. Thank you, Paris, for being best friends, best brothers a guy could have. I don't know if I'm going to be on the next show next week or anything, because I've got my daughter, I've got family here in town, so things are going to be up in the air. But
it's all good. You know, it's all good.
Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to our viewers on Twitch. I am curious, because I know we're on 2 hours earlier than our normal Sunday times, and I want actually our viewers to have a little bit of feedback on this as well. So let us know if you like the new time slot. I just want to know more. What do our listeners expect in 2022? I think, you know, we always jump in and there's always like that big interview that we do. But I'm curious if there's something from a listener aspect or a viewer aspect that they want more of. Do they want more three-person roundtables? Do I want more arguments? do they want, you know, Paris arguing, yelling at us more about things that me and Danny are saying? Do they want me taking things that Danny has said out of context incorrectly more and getting mad? or, you know, is there something that you want to see us do in particular to the show? Like, is there something that you want us to focus on more on, like one-on-one interviews? Do you want us to do more video stuff that, you know, that we know that we need to work on? I just want to know what, you know, so hit the feedback, hit the Discord, hit the email, let us know, how do we make Gamertag Radio bigger and better in 22 for you guys? Cause that's at the end of the day, that this is, you guys are the, you know, you guys and girls, and you're the ones that, you're the ultimate target, right? You're the demographic that we're looking for. So you need to tell us what you want more of in 2022.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Please hit us up, contact the whole crew, podcast, was it fan mail? Sorry, fanmail at gamertagradio.com. Let us know your thoughts. And we'll read it. We'll look at it, talk about it, and make some changes, man, you know? So, but yeah, we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Listen to our past episodes. We have a lot of content that we've been releasing throughout the whole year. And yeah, give us a call if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion or segment. Here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you to everyone that's watching here on Twitch and also everybody listening our podcast version. So it's, again, all over. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast platforms out there. So we're going to wrap it up. Thank you to Paris. Thank you to Pete from all the way to Switzerland. We're going to be out here. And until next time, we're out. Take care.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.